You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
The following message is the second half of Pastor David's message titled, Russia in the Last Days. If you have not listened to the first half of the message, please do so before proceeding. Now, here is Pastor David with part two of his message, Russia in the Last Days.
Verse 7, prepare yourself and be ready. You, who's the you? God, Russia. Be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be guard for them. Or in other words, God, lead them, bring them on, right? After many days, you will be visited in the latter years. Here we see, whenever you see that phrase in the Old Testament, in the latter years or in the last days, it's referring to the last 7-year period on the earth. That is a phrase well known in the scriptures, and it refers to the latter time. And notice what God says. It's going to be a long time for this before it happens. This was written in 571 BC, but it's going to come to place, and it's going to come to play in the latter years. You will come back into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people. Who are the people that were brought back from the sword and gathered from many people?
Israel.
Here, this is astonishing to me. Oh my gosh. The nation Israel, this is written 571 BC. The nation Israel was dispersed in AD 70 when Rome, burned the temple and started persecuting the Jews, and the Jews were scattered worldwide. And they were scattered from AD 70 all the way until May 14th, 1948, when out of nowhere, out of the worst world war, think about 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust. And at their very weakest, after being scattered for nearly 2,000 years, and 6 million Jews are genocide, at their very weakest point, what happens? They become a nation. Amazing. And God demonstrating his word, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he disciplined them and he scattered them all over the earth, but he gathers them back together as a nation. And here we see Russia and Iran in the latter days are going to come back against a people that were sent out from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. Desolate from 70 AD to 1948. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them live safely. Here today we have Israel, amazingly, and they are a powerful nation, and they are there living confidently in the land. That word safely can be confidently or securely. And here this has happened. It's really funny. I have some commentaries that are old, like, 100 years old, and all of the commentators could not understand what this verse was because Israel wasn't back in the land. How can this happen? What does this mean, right? Israel before 1948, commentaries written, they're like, they couldn't see how this was going to happen. They thought maybe the Antichrist would gather them back in and this might mean that. But this is before all that. So anyway, we know that God brought them back in. Verse 9. You will ascend, speaking now to God. You will ascend, coming in like a storm and covering the land like a cloud. You and all your troops and many peoples with you, many nations coming with you. All these nations aligned together, Russia leading them to come against Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. Here, I believe this is probably the very next prophecy that's going to happen. Right now, I assure you, Russia has no plan on coming down against Israel. But if he invades Ukraine, there's going to be some thought that pops into his mind. He's going to think it's human in origin, but it's not. It's spiritual in origin from demonic forces, and he's going to have a thought in his mind, I want to go down and get Israel. We'll look at more on this in just a moment. Thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan to go wipe out Israel. Here's what it says. Here's the evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. By the way, when Ezekiel wrote this, there weren't any lands that were unwalled villages. So prophetically, that's a very unusual statement written 571 BC. But now, of course, we know Israel has no walls, right? It's a common thing now. You will go up to a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars or gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. Again, they were uninhabited from AD 70 to 1948, and they're again inhabited. And against a people gathered from the nations. Who's that? The Jews that were scattered all over the earth and now brought back into Israel, who have acquired livestock and goods and who dwell in the midst of the land. Very interesting. Is Israel wealthy today? Yeah, all of this has happened just like it says. And here we see something fascinating. There's going to be some hook put into the mouth of Gog, this ruler of Russia and these other nations that come with him, some kind of hook to pull him down and go against Israel. Well, what in the heck could that be? Well, it's interesting, not oil, but you're close. It's interesting what's happening right now. Something miraculous happened in 2017. Israel found a boatload of natural gas. They had no energy whatsoever. They had to import all of their energy, and suddenly they hit a mother load. They have so much natural gas that they can only use 1% of it. Right now, they are exporting over 50% of what they're producing, but they have a mother load. They're only taking out 1%, excuse me, 1% of the total amount. Now, what's happening with gas prices? Yeah, shooting way up. Guess who's going to be motivated to start getting some more of that gas out? Israel. And here's what's going to happen. They produce over 9 billion cubic meters of natural gas per year right now. As I said, they export 50% of it, and they have tons. Russia right now supplies Europe with 40% of its natural gas. And that's just on Nord Stream 1, the pipeline. Our president, Mr. Putin, when he got into office, guess what he approved? What did I say? You guys are bad. That wasn't a Freudian slip. President Biden, Guess what he approved for Mr. Putin when he came into office? Nord Stream 2. Crazy. Crazy. Right now, Russia supplies Europe with 40% of its natural gas through Nord Stream 1, and Russia's economy depends on it. 60% of Russia's GDP is in natural gas. 60% of their GDP. Check out this money they bring in. $350 million per day from oil and $200 million per day from gas. Per day. They need Europe dependent on them. One of the reasons he wants to come in, Putin wants to come in and take over Ukraine, because Ukraine is taking a lot of money, and because it passes through them, and he can bypass that if on Nord Stream 1. Now, what would happen if Israel says, hey, Europe, who's getting 40% of your gas from Nord Stream 1, we've got a boatload. Why don't you start buying gas from us? What hook might get put in Russia's mouth? And so here we see some very interesting times. I thought I'd get much further.
Keep going.
Yeah, are you tracking with me? We left off on verse 12, right? We'll read it again, because now with that insight, they're going to come down to Israel. They're going to have a hook in their mouth to plunder and to take booty and to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods in Israel, who dwell in the midst of the land. And look at this. This is so interesting. I can't believe the Bible. Verse 13. I mean, I can believe it. I just can't believe it. Verse 13. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions will say to you, this is saying to God, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, and to take livestock and goods, and to take great plunder? They're saying, hey, have you come to take all this wealth? And what's interesting is who these players are. Sheba and Dedan, do you know who that is? They're in Saudi Arabia, but not any part of Saudi Arabia. Do you know who they are? The United Arab Emirates, who just a couple of years ago signed on to the Abraham Accords right at the end of the Trump administration. Unbelievable, unthinkable to have an Arab nation aligning with the Abraham Accords. What the heck? And the UAE, when I saw that, I immediately thought of this verse. Because here's what happens when Russia comes down into Israel. Guess who complains? The United Arab Emirates, who are now part of this Abraham Accord, that say, no, we want to get along with Israel. We want to make peace with Israel. And the war that was there between UAE, the tension and everything, now they travel, they trade, and everything happened like that under the Trump administration. And now they're going to say, hey, Gog, what are you doing? And it says here also, not just Sheba and Dedan, but also the merchants of Tarshish. We don't know for sure who the merchants of Tarshish are. We believe it's Spain. Some say maybe England. England's a little fanciful. There are people who want to get the United States in the Bible prophecy somehow. And they say that the merchants of Tarshish and the young lions were the young lions. They say that Tarshish was England and were the young lions that came out of England, this new country. Doesn't really fit. Kind of wish it did, but it doesn't. But anyway, whoever these young lions are, these young entrepreneurs from Tarshish, maybe Spain, we don't know. But anyway, all of them watch God come down, and what do they say? What are you doing? But what do they do? Nothing. Look familiar? Oh, no, that's bad. That's bad. You can't do that. You can't do that. But they don't get involved. Thank you. Therefore, son of man, that's Ezekiel, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north. We just saw the map. That's Russia, right? And many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. All of them coming with military, soldiers. Verse 16, you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. And it will be in the latter days, there it is again, that I will bring you against my land. This is God speaking. So that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. What's this? This is going to be a battle where God is going to say, just like in the days of Exodus, I'm going to show up. I'm going to, excuse expression, kick butt. And the whole world will know that was God. That was God. This is what's happening right now. This is what's happening in our midst, right? How will this happen? He's going to tell us. How will all the... I want you to double underline this. So that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you. Hallowed means revered or made holy. The you is who? God, right? And now, how is God going to do it? Verse 17. I hate that clock on the wall. Thus says the Lord God, are you he whom I have spoken in the former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years that in those days I would bring you against them, against Israel? God, are you the guy that we prophesied for almost 3,000 years ago? This is the one, you're the one, now's the time, and this is going to happen. Verse 18, and it will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, says Yahweh Elohim, that my fury will show in my face. Whose face is that? God. Guys, the world has never seen the full wrath of God, ever. At the flood, we saw some of the judgment of God, but his wrath in the last 7 years on the tribulation, 7 year tribulation, his wrath is poured out, the Bible says, in full strength, without being diluted. And what brings all this wrath to his face? God using anthropomorphic terms to describe what he's trying to... He obviously doesn't have a face that gets red. But he said, my face is going to get filled with anger the moment you come down against Israel. Verse 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beast of the field, and all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Who's that, by the way? That's everything. Your poodle's going to be shaking. Your goldfish are going to be shaking. Your gecko lizards are going to be shaking. God's going to shake the earth. All eyes in the whole world are going to be on this, is what God is telling us. And he's going to do a mighty work. There's going to be divine miracles, just like in the days of Exodus. By the way, Exodus, if you didn't know this, how many of you know the miracles of Exodus? You know, the Red Sea parting and all that, and the frogs and all that stuff? All of that is prophetic of what happens in the seven-year period. Why did God choose to demonstratively so demonstrate his power in the days of Moses more than any other time? It was all prophetic of the seven-year tribulation period. So here's where I'm at right now. I know I'm in this verse, but my mind's somewhere else. I'm thinking, how am I going to wrap this thing up? Because I planned on going so much farther with you, and we're out of time. What do we do here? Okay, calm down. Verse 21. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains. That's Jerusalem, by the way, says the Lord God, and every man's sword will be against his brother. What's that? God is going to cause confusion to come on Gog. And what does Gog do? They're going to start stabbing and shooting and launching their missiles at each other. He shakes the earth so much that they're confused, they're bamboozled, and they start destroying each other. If you have kids and you need to go, no problem. I want to take you to a couple more verses, can I? And then I'll try to find a way to land this plane. Do you have time to go to a couple more verses? Flip over to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. It's to your right, just a couple books. Are you there, Zechariah chapter 12? I still have a page turning. Give me a big amen if you're there. Fellowship Hall, you guys there? They all went home. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, that's the universe, we studied that in Genesis 1, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms, oh, I love that word, who personally forms the spirit of man within him. The God who made you and gave you all your gifting and your talents and your abilities and your personality and all the funny things you do and all the different... that God. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. In other words, they will make drunken, stupid decisions regarding Israel. They'll be drunk in their lust for it. When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day, there's that word, there's that phrase, that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples. I will make Jerusalem a major, huge problem for the entire world. Why? Because Russia and Iran and everyone's going down against it and everyone's going, what do we do? What do we do? It's a heavy stone for all the nations. All who would heave it away will surely be cut to pieces. Though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. Even though all, here's what God's saying, even though all the nations of the earth are gathered against Israel, you better be for Israel, because if you're not for Israel, what's God say I'm going to do to you? And when God says I'm going to cut you to pieces, you better be, you know. Wow. Look at this, verse 4. And that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. But I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. What's he saying? I'm going to give Israel night vision, and I'm going to make everyone else blind as a bat. What's that mean? I'm going to give Israel incredible intellect and prowess, and I'm going to make everyone else dumb and drunk. What makes a nation great? When its people humble themselves and call upon God and don't kick them out of their schools, but teach kids how to pray and how to revere and how to love God. When a nation opens in prayer when they gather with their leaders, and when they have reverence for the true and living God, God imparts to them incredible vision and wisdom and insight to write amazing constitutions, amazing laws that bring health to the land. I look at the founding of this country, what a divine work. But when a nation goes against God, God makes their decisions so foolish that they will think CRT in a classroom is good. They will think that teaching an 8-year-old kid can choose their own sexual identity and not tell their parents is good. This is the blindness that is happening. And here we see the source of it. Why? Who gives it? God. And it depends on how we treat him, how we act, right? What we do. So he's going to strike all the peoples with blindness. For time's sake, I'm going to move us. Look at verse 9. It shall be in that day, there's the words again, in that day, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. This is God Almighty speaking. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Look at this. Circle these words. What will he pour on them? The spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, God speaking, whom they have what?
Pierced.
Who's that? Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. Wow. God said, I'm going to be hallowed in this event. Right now, the Jews are blind to the Messiah. They don't understand Jesus. Jesus is a spit word to them. But during this time, not because they did anything, but because God is sovereign and he has not forgot the covenant that he made with the nation Israel. It's an unconditional covenant. Excuse me. It's an unconditional covenant. You guys are laughing at me a lot tonight. It's an unconditional covenant. And no matter how unfaithful they are, God is going to bring them back. And this is when he's going to do it. And notice what it says, I will pour my spirit upon them. Right now, they are spiritually dead. They are spiritually blind, Romans 9 tells us. They have rejected their spiritual blindness. Romans 11 tells us that God is going to take away the spiritual blindness and put their spirit back on them. And he does so at the beginning of the tribulation period. The church is raptured before the tribulation happens. God's spirit goes from being upon the church to now being upon Israel. And we enter into the 70th week of Daniel, the 70th the last 7-year period of the nation Israel, the Great Tribulation, and it happens right when the tribulation period begins. Amazing. And this is where we're at right now. Do you have time for just a couple more verses?
Yeah.
Flip over to chapter 14 of Zechariah. Yeah, chapter 14. And Let's go to, where can I pick this up quick? Let's go to verse 12. Is all this connecting into Ezekiel? Do you see why I'm taking you here? Do you see the thread, the parallel thread? Verse 12 in Zechariah 14. And this shall be the plague which the Lord will strike all of the people who fought against Jerusalem. Who's that? Gog, right? Gog and Iran and everybody else. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Well, I guess so. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. What's that? They will fight each other and kill each other. This obviously speaks of what? Nuclear war. Got time for one more verse? Check this out. Let's go back to Ezekiel. I'm hoping this begins to weave all together for you. Look what he says. Let's go back to Ezekiel 38. We'll pick it up in verse 22. We left off right at 21, right? Every man's sword will be against his brother. I took you over to Zechariah to show you a complementary, a parallel prophecy from Zechariah of the same time. Verse 22. And I will bring him to judgment. Now, that's Gog. With pestilence, with bloodshed, I will rain down on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Revelation 16 tells us that those hailstones are not like the hailstones you've seen. Guess how big they are? They're 100-pound cannonballs dropping down on there. Verse 23, thus I will magnify myself, God speaking, sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am Yahweh. Wow. So much more I want to take you into. I wish we had time. We'll have to stop here or the kids will be crying. Yes?
Does the invasion happen before or after the rapture?
We don't know for sure the exact time of Ezekiel 38 when it happens. There's scholars who hold different positions. Some of them are not worth, they don't hold up, you know, they don't. But I'll give you my personal opinion. We won't be here for any of this. The rapture of the church happens before this, and this is what happens after the church is taken away. And if we had more time, we could go into those things tonight. What do we do with this? To your question, I'll say this. We studied Ezekiel 38. The layout of the Bible is phenomenal. When does this happen? Well, Ezekiel 37, if you remember, if you're a Bible scholar, Ezekiel 37 is the Valley of Dry Bones. What does that mean? Well, God was telling Ezekiel, the nation Israel is going to die. And it's going to be nothing but a valley of dead bones. When did that happen? AD 70, right? And they were dispersed for how long? 1948. That's almost 2,000 years. Never in the history of the earth has a nation been dispersed for 2,000 years and come back to their homeland. Never. They kept their native tongue somehow. They preserved the Hebrew language and all their traditions without a homeland. Never happens. Anyway, Ezekiel 37. It's going to be a valley of dry bones. That valley of dry bones is a picture of Israel. He makes it very clear in there. And he says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to those bones. He says, can those bones live? And Ezekiel goes, Lord, you're asking me? You know. He goes, prophesy to them. And Ezekiel goes, huh? Prophesy to the dead bones. So he speaks. And guess what happens? All the dead bones become a skeleton. You know, you hear the rattling of dead bones. And there's a gospel song on that. Well, Jimmy should sing it. Them dry bones, right? And they all start to come together. And then sinews come on him. And Ezekiel's freaked out. He's watching this going like, oh my gosh, is this a Stephen King novel? And then it stops. There's no life in them, just bones and sinew. And God says, Ezekiel, son of man, preach again to the bones. And so he preached again to the bones. And guess what happened? The Bible says the Spirit went into them. And they began to move and live. Taking us back to Genesis, God formed man from the dust of the earth. And he breathed into him, and he became a living being. And these bones are a picture of who? The nation Israel. Guess where they are right now? They're put together. They're a body. But there's no spirit in them. And when this happens, what we read tonight, we just read in Zechariah 12 and 14, God puts his what? Spirit back into Israel. So that's Ezekiel 37. And then they recognize, where did you get those wounds? Oh, I got them in the house of my friends. Oh my gosh, we did this to you. And they will mourn for Jesus, their Messiah, like one mourns for their only son. Then Ezekiel 38 and 39, this battle that happens in the tribulation period. And then Ezekiel 40, guess what that just happens to be about? The millennial kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, and the new glorified temple. The Messiah reigning on earth from Israel, world without end. That's chapter 40 through the end of the book. So do you see the structure of the book? The nation regathered, but no spirit. The nation gets the spirit in them. At the time the tribulation happens, the tribulation's over, Jesus stops the battle, he fixes everything, and he comes back. There's a new millennial kingdom, a new millennial temple, the messianic kingdom. Jimmy, come back up. World without end, Jesus ruling and reigning on planet Earth. You're in good hands. You're in good hands. Shall we stand? Let's go out in song. As we do, church, I want you to hold on to this. All the chess pieces are in place. Israel, a nation. Russia, doing exactly what the Bible says. Iran, becoming nuclear. Globalization, a world economic forum. The Great Reset, a cashless society. The move to a new currency. The technology to have the mark of the beast be in play. Apostasy in the world. Apostasy in education. Apostasy in the church. A church that, not the mission church, I pray, but a church that nationally, globally, is lukewarm. A perverse sexual immorality being accepted as normal. Censorship and erosion of free speech. Autocratic governments. A new world order trying to come into play. All of these things are happening even as we speak. And the Bible has foretold all of them. And Jesus said, when you see this... Actually, I have this verse on the screens. Can you put that verse on the screens? Let me hear you read this in a thundering voice, one loud church, one loud voice, as if you are in love with Jesus for what he's done for us. Gene, yeah, that last verse on Luke, Luke 21. I know it's there. Here's what Jesus said. When you see all these things begin to come to pass, what did he say? Lift up your heads. Don't get your eyes on all the problems. Don't get your eyes on all the drama. Don't get all worried about what's going on here. Lift up your eyes. I will speak wisdom and truth into you. I will not leave you orphans. I will lead, guide, and direct you. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at me, for your redemption draws nigh. Praise the Lord.
You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.